Well, and then I tell the guy, Drew Carey. What's the deal with Drew Carey? You think that would be a funny stand-up bit?
It just depends. It's all about the setup and then the punchline of the joke. Couldn't be any better than some of the other comedians I've seen.
You can just tell me no next time, Christopher. No, I'm joking.
I will tell you no. You know I don't have a problem telling you no.
That's true.
We have the type of friendship when it's like, when you get like new glasses or something, and I'll be like, yeah, you look stupid. Like, I'll straight tell you to your face.
What did you tell me? You told me something when I got my new glasses, didn't you? You said something like, you look like a IT, what'd you say?
Maybe like it was like, you look like a typical IT nerd. That was a nice version. I said some other things that I can't say.
Yeah, I was about to say, there were some bigger burns than that, so I guess we're going to keep it friendly then. But yeah, man, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. Another week, another episode of the Donut Box Podcast. Dude, it's the year's flying by. I mean, we're to Easter. We just celebrated Easter yesterday.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Yeah, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do appreciate that. And yeah, Easter was awesome, and hope you had a good time. But what's been going on, Chris?
Oh, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, man. It's been great to see all of you guys, man, and just to see like where the listeners are starting to trend, man. So thank you to all of our listeners. We're seeing a lot like on the East Coast, like kind of in the Northeast, pop up a lot, and then also kind of in the Midwest. That's been kind of our bread and butter. So we're thankful to all of you Northeasterners and Midwesterners, I guess that's what you guys call yourselves, but we're thankful for you guys, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta have your bread and butter, and we appreciate it so much. But yeah, man, you ready to get into this thing? I'm excited for this story. I'm ready to go with this thing.
Let's do it to it.
All right, man. Well, our first segment is the old-fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. So, story from our past this week is going to be when we randomly decided to go to Six Flags. Now, we've had several Six Flags trips. You probably heard the stories in the past if you've been listening to us of other Six Flags trips that we went to. But we decided to go to Six Flags over Georgia, which was about a two-hour drive. Chris had the infamous Buick that looked like the cop car. And do you remember what spurred the decision to go?
Well, I remember we heard a couple of our youth leaders talking about how when they were young, they could just pick up and go to Six Flags one day on a whim. And I was like, you know what? That would be really cool. And so when I think we were 16 or 17 years old. And so at that point, like, you're starting to kind of get your own money. You know, you have your own job, you have your own car, right? And so you're just like, hey, man, like, why don't we go to Six Flags?
Yeah, like, why don't we? And so we ended up, we piled in the car, and it's about a two-hour drive, well, about two and a half over to Six Flags. And so we got there. I remember I was staying at your house, I think, and why were we up so early? I don't even remember, but we got the idea. We got there, and it was right before open. And on the way there, we had talked about this plan, because we had been to Six Flags enough times. And listen, I don't know if you've had a bad Six Flags experience, but we have, where you spend the entire day in two and a half hour lines where you only have a full day and you only get like six roller coasters in, right? Or six rides, period. And so we were like, nah, we're going to do it differently. So I remember we thought about it, and the way Six Flags over Georgia was laid out, they would open up the park somewhat periodically. Pretty much they opened the back of the park at the same time as they opened up a really popular part of the park. So we thought, you know what, let's go to the back of the park and ride some of those rides back there. What were some of the rides back there, man?
So I remember our goal being like, we don't, because some people are like, you know what, I don't really care to ride this ride or ride that ride, but our goal was to ride every single ride in the park and at least be able to ride maybe some of our favorite ones twice.
And
so
yeah,
like Micah said, we decided, hey, at the front of the park, most people are like, hey, they work from the front to the back because they're like, yeah, I'm just going to make my way back. So as the day progresses, then the back of the park starts getting more and more crowded. And so me and Micah were like, you know what, everyone goes to the front first, how about we just ride the first ride that we really want to ride first? We can wait like 5-10 minutes because not everybody gets to the park right when it opens. And so we were like, okay, we'll ride that ride. And then we'll go to the back of the park where there's nobody at, and we can maybe hop on that ride a couple times because there are some popular rides in the back of the park. One particularly being the American Scream Machine, which is like an old, it's just hills, but it's an old wooden roller coaster. And then another one is the Superman ride, which is a very popular ride because it takes you where you're like on the roller coaster, but you're like laying on your stomach. So it's like you're flying through the park. And so we were like, ooh, we definitely want to ride those ones first. And so we decided to do that. So we went to the back of the park, and lo and behold, there was nobody there. And we just hopped on that ride and we just walked on.
Yeah, we actually rode Superman like when it was real slow. I remember the people at the front were cool. Can we just go again? And they're just like, yeah. And they would just let you stay there. They would just let you sit in the roller coaster and go a few times. And I remember we did that on the American Scream Machine. That thing was insane. I just want to stop and digress. We used to like the back row of the Great American Scream Machine. And what Chris was saying about it being wooden and just hills. The first hill was definitely the biggest, as in most roller coasters. But this thing, it took like a minute and a half to get to the top, mainly because it was that old. Real clickety-clack, you know? But for some reason, the back of this roller coaster, the very back car, every time it went down a hill or something, it would almost kind of float and detach from the track a little bit and then slam back down. I have no clue why we thought that was so fun. We'd always come out with injuries and stuff, but for some reason, I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, now being 29-year-old, I think I being a 29-year-old now, I'm kind of like, I'm avoiding wooden roller coasters at all costs. But also part of the plan that we figured out was, okay, so our plan is, and we're gonna give you this hack. So you ride your first most favorite ride first, right? And then you go to the back of the park where there's nobody at. Subsequently, while you're at the back of the park, on the way to the back of the park, you want to make sure that you catch the water ride.
Especially if it's the summertime, because those are always going to be the longest wait, especially the hotter it gets in the day.
Yeah, so 3 or 4, like around 2 o'clock is when they start getting busy, and that's when you're gonna like get, you know, you're gonna get like really waiting in a lot of lines. So we rode a couple of the water rides, right? And so we would work our way from the back to the front, right? So, and about that time, like, you know, of course you stop for lunch. And I remember, I think we agreed like one of us would pay for gas and then one of us would pay for food. And I just remember like, and this was in 2010, 2011. And I just remember like you paying for the food, and it was like two giant burritos and two drinks. And it was $20, and both of us were like, man, this is expensive. And it's like, oh yeah, park prices, man, park prices. I was like, nowadays, I don't know if you could get $20 for two people. Now it's about 25, 30. So,
For a lot less of what we got.
but then every single theme park, it doesn't matter where you go, Six Flags, Universal, wherever, they usually like have one of like some kind of family ride where it's like, it's pretty easy. It's not a roller coaster. It's not a thrill ride. So our plan was always to go on that ride right after lunch so that we could, you know, we wouldn't have to throw up our lunch or whatever. Like you're still riding a ride, but you're not throwing up. And so probably every Six Flags has this kind of ride. I guess it would call it, it's almost like the Small World ride. So it's like you're in this little river raft and you're just coasting, and it's the animatronic ride. And so this ride was called Monster Plantation, but they've changed it since then, since everything got canceled. And was this the ride that you broke your phone on, or was that the other water ride?
No, that was like the white water rafting ride. Like that was the white water rafting ride.
Oh, we'll tell that one in a little bit, but go ahead.
I'll tell you this much. So Monster Plantation, the reason we found it, like Chris was saying, is after lunch, you don't want to have anything too heavy, you know, or you don't want to do anything too heavy like a big roller coaster. So we said, you know what, let's find this ride. And something about Six Flags, it's like they went to Disney and they have these concepts, because you know they have like a Space Mountain one kind of in Dallas, but the funny thing is there's like holes showing through so you can actually see where the track's going. It's always like Disney's ideas, but not as good. So this, like Monster Plantation, was like a Tim Burton, except it was supposed to be like these monsters in a swamp. It was very, very interesting. And you're like going through their house. Yeah. How else would you describe it, Chris?
Again, it's not creepy. I mean, it kind of is, but then like you think that there's going to be a big drop, but there's really not, cuz then they're like, "Oh yeah, don't go in this way," and then you're going into the bad part.
Don't go in the marsh. Don't
yeah.
go in the marsh.
And then at the end, we always knew where the camera was, so we would do different things that 17-year-olds do to try to make funny pictures for the camera. So, but yeah.
And unlike Disney, Six Flags security won't kick you out because they're not paying that close of attention.
Yeah, I thought you broke your phone on that ride, but I guess you did break it on the other ride, which was the Water Rapid ride. So you're in this big circle tube thing, and you're sitting facing people, and then you go through the rapids. And I'll let you tell about how you broke your phone.
And it's always luck of the draw of what, you know, who's going to get splashed the most. Like, I've been on that ride. I don't know about you, Chris, but I've been on that ride before, and I've come out dry as a bone. And then I've come out, like, in this situation where I'm wringing out my socks because I just got so wet. I mean, it literally just got right to the point. My phone was in my pocket. I don't know how to describe this. The seats, they're kind of bucket seats, right? And so there's kind of a lip right where your pocket is. And the way the boat shifted, it shifted and hit the rock pretty hard. And, you know, where it was pretty much under a waterfall too. So hit this rock, water's dumping on you and everything. Well, apparently I slid so hard to the side, I shattered my phone screen, and then the water made it just not work. So I broke my phone, and I spent the rest of the day fretting about that. For sure.
I mean, as a typical teenager would, because at that age, you're like trying to talk to, you're trying to holler at everybody. So
yeah,
you're probably
worried,
oh man. And it's like, it's kind of one of those things out of sight, out of mind. So if you ain't hollering, they gonna forget about you. So you're like, oh man.
And especially it's the summertime, right? And it's like, so you're trying to holler at everybody's out of school, got plenty of time on their hands, right? So you trying to holler
yeah,
at everybody.
Yeah, for sure. But I do remember we got to ride every single ride that we wanted to, and we even got to ride a couple of our favorite ones twice. And so I remember us being like, yeah, we finally got the plan.
Yeah, it worked out so good. And, you know, we actually, we'll give you all that little hack, but that's actually worked at every Six Flags we've been to otherwise since then.
Yeah, I've tried to do that. Like, with Universal and Disney, like, there's a whole different system that you have to figure out, but Six Flags, it definitely works. I don't know. I'm going to SeaWorld this week, so I want to see if that works or how that is going to play into effect. But I also remember that your grandmother got, like, really scared that we were taking a road trip 2.5 hours away. And
you're too young for that. And it's like, we're 16, though.
Yeah. But I just remember that being, like, the coolest thing, because we were like, yeah, we can get up and go. Like, we have our own money. We can pay for lunch. Like, we can pay for parking. We can pay for our gas. And, like, and then we were back home by, you know, the end of the day. So it was definitely fun. You know, Micah and I both enjoy roller coasters. I don't know. Now that I'm getting older, I'm not enjoying them as much as I used to. But I just think, because whenever I was at Universal a year ago on my honeymoon, there was one that just jacked my back up, like, really bad. And so I'm a little gun-shy now with certain ones. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, there's nothing like that feeling of going on a drop on the roller coaster. It's
yeah, I still want to go up to New Jersey and do King Ka, the one that shoots you at, I don't know how fast it is, but that looks really fun.
Yeah, that was like on my bucket list for forever. And actually during COVID, during like when we got our stimulus checks, I actually seriously looked into that and researched it about like trying to make the trip up there. But I was like, it's going to be too expensive. And then like flying into the airport and then trying to get a rental car to go stay. Yeah, it was just so much, so many pieces.
Isn't it kind of out in the middle of nowhere in New Jersey? Like the park's not like in a real populated area. I don't think so.
But I do want to go back to the one in Dallas, because we went 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago, and I kind of want to go back.
Jeez, has it been 3 years ago now that we went?
Yeah, because remember, we went that first time when we first moved to Texas, and that was miserable, which we've talked about on the podcast. And then we went back 3 years ago, and it wasn't bad. We just got really overheated.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's Texas in the summertime. That was something else that was we got really lucky on the time that it was really miserable, actually. Do you remember? It was like 75 degrees in the summertime in Texas, and it somehow was like 75 degrees and overcast. So we did get lucky on that. We've had so many Six Flags trips, but yeah, the one in Dallas is really, really fun. The Mr. Freeze ride is still.
Yeah, I think so too, man. We'd definitely have to go check it out soon. And I know that there's one in San Antonio, Fiesta, Texas, but it's not as good. It's not as good. I've been to it, and it's okay. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's all right.
Yeah, I totally get you. Well, you ready to move on to our next segment?
Let's do it, brother. What do you got?
Man, so we normally do our jail report, and we've been kind of shirking that here lately, and we're going to shirk it again. So just FYI there. I don't know what you want to call this one, man. We're going to talk about, it's kind of more of an opinion piece. I just want to ask your opinion on something. Have you heard about the Boeing stuff that's been going on?
No, I have not.
Okay, I'm going to briefly fill you in along with our listeners, and I just want to know, what do you think about this? So you've heard about the crashes that they've had in 2018 and 2019, and you probably heard about, like, the MAX 8, right? You probably heard about stuff like that somewhat.
Sure.
Sure. Well, they had two planes, and they were a brand new line of planes, pretty much. Two planes ended up crashing overseas, and come to find out, Boeing was really irresponsible when it came to their quality control. Fast forward, they had a whole agreement because of those two crashes to beef up their quality control. And guess what ended up happening? They didn't. And a few months ago in January, there was a flight that had a door blowout in the middle of their flight. So they were flying from Portland, and literally the door just blew, you know, the emergency exit door blew out in the middle of the flight. Come to find out, they were missing bolts from the manufacturer. So they were missing six bolts to begin with. And then other airlines reported from that same plane that there were a bunch of bolts missing. Then another report came out. They were using quality control methods like using Dawn dish soap to as lubricant. And then they were using hotel door key cards to test seals and things like that for approvals, for like official approvals. Whole dumpster fire, right? Let me ask you a question. So after hearing all of that, who do you think would need, do you think that somebody would need criminal jail time for that? Because, I mean, there were lives lost. To this point, there's been over 300 lives lost because of negligence, pretty much, right?
Oh, should there be jail time? Or do you think it, or are you asking me, do I think there's going to be jail time?
No, no, no. Should there be? The first question is, should there
be? Yeah. I think there should be jail time, because if you're negligent with stuff, I mean, that it's the same thing if with a child, right? You can get arrested for negligence or child negligence or elderly negligence. Like, you can get arrested for that. So I think you should, but do I think that they're going to? Absolutely not, because they make money, and when you're rich, you don't ever get.
I mean, potentially. What do you think about the CEO just stepped down? And that's something that we've been covering the last week in aviation for the last 5 weeks, is will the guy step down? And we all know what stepping down means, right? That's a classy way of saying they're going to fire me if I don't quote unquote step down. What's interesting is the FBI has been reaching out to the victims of the Alaska Air, the flight that had the door blowout, and saying that they might have been victims of a crime. So now that he's not a part of the organization, and there's been some other shakeup in the higher up, I'm curious, do you think, does that change your opinion that maybe, you know, if they're not working for the company anymore, that maybe they could be easy targets for subpoenas or something like that, or indictments?
Yeah, I think they can be easy targets because, again, the company is protecting them and they're living under that umbrella. But then now that you're on your own, I feel like the FBI looks at that and is like, oh, yeah, you're free game, or you're going to be the scapegoat. So, yeah, we're going to go after you because we need, people demand blood. So we're going to get your blood.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And then something else, too, there was a former Boeing employee a few weeks ago, or actually it's been a few months ago now, that was essentially a whistleblower, right? Told the FAA everything that was going on and things like that. And he mysteriously committed suicide all of a sudden. When I say that, what kind of, does that give you, you think it was suicide? What is your speculation on?
It's never suicide, man. Anytime somebody whistleblows on something and then there's a suicide, it's never suicide. Never at all, man. It's always a cover-up.
It's just amazing that it's a cover-up on such a large scale. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about with this discussion piece, and we'll kind of just wrap it up from here. a lot of people are saying that this isn't a Boeing problem. This is a systemic problem in our society, that basically companies have gotten away from seeing human lives as the value, right? Like, it's become so bottom, you know, about the dollar. No company is putting as much as they should into quality to any extent. That used to be, there was at least companies that would spend the extra money on that, but essentially those days are over with because of how cut rate everybody needs to be. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's true. It's true for any industry. I mean, you look at the Hollywood industry, man. They're making money, but yet they still let child predators and all that stuff still work on their sets, and they still treat people like crap, and they don't make sure that their people are taken care of. So, yeah, that's with any system. I mean, and that's the problem. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. 9 times out of 10, people really only care about the money. And the ones that care about their people, those are noticeable. So, like, for example, right, Chick-fil-A, like, they seem like they really care about their people. There was another company that someone told me about, and they were like, yeah, they really do care about their people. It was actually Longhorn Steakhouse, where it's like, yeah, they offer them medical benefits, dental benefits, all that good stuff. Like, when you actually care about your company, then those make you stand out. But other than that, I think everyone is just trying to make a buck, and they really don't care how they do it.
Well, good to know, man. I just wanted to ask what you think about that. You know, of course, I got to plug the other spot here with Last Week in Aviation, but at the same time, you know, from somebody who's on the outside in, not hearing about what's going on, just wanted to hear your opinion. And, you know, it's kind of some weird ethical questions, right? I mean, it's kind of some weird spots that they're in on that front. So
yeah, for sure, man. And again, we'll get off of this, but I mean, it gets to the thing. It's like, yeah, like, do I really need to put that bolt here? Like, it'll be okay. It's when you start doing that stuff, it's like, yeah, they'll be fine. And then all of a sudden it's that one bolt that's missing that makes it defective. So, yep.
Yeah. Either, you know, it's that, and there's supposed to be a lot of oversight, and it's when those oversights are, oh, well, they've been fine for 25 years, so we won't put somebody at that station to make sure that that's getting done, right? Stuff like that. That's when things go south. That's a lack of attention to detail, and, you know, hopefully their new CEO will happen, but it'll be interesting to see if somebody gets arrested from it, too. I doubt it, but at the same time, with the FBI investigating it, who knows? Who knows? But anyways, man, we can move on to our next segment, which is the donut hole. And Chris, we got a quiz.
Oh, buddy, is it a plane quiz?
No, it's not.
Oh, thank God.
I'm not making this an aviation episode. I could, but I'm not going to. We're going to do TV station meaning, so like the abbreviations of TV stations. How well do you know your TV stations?
Pretty well, actually.
Pretty well? Okay. Well, we're going to go through them, and we're going to see what you think. So the very first one, what does ABC stand for? Is it A, American Broadcasting Company, B, Authentic Broadcasting Company, C, American Baseline Company, or D, American Broadcast... I have put American Broadcast Company plus.
It's American Broadcast Company. I could have told you that.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, before I read out all the options, let's see if we can chat up the next one. What about CBS? Do you know what CBS stands for?
I think it means Central Broadcasting Station.
It's a little bit different. Here, I'll read out the options. One, Columbus Broadcasting Company. B, Columbia Broadcasting Company. C, Technology Learning Company. Or D, the Charles Broadcasting
Company. It's Columbia Broadcasting Company because it's part of Paramount.
It is. Yep. It's the Columbia Broadcasting Station is the official. All right. So the next one, TLC. So it's known for some of our favorite shows like 600 Pound Sisters or whatever. And the people who brought you Honey Boo Boo. Do you know what it stands for?
I feel like it's something with Turner in the title.
All right. So here's the options. A, the Larchmont Network. The Larchmont Network. B, the True Life Channel. C, the Learning Channel. Or D, the Technology Learning Channel.
Oh, it's between B or C. But I'm like, if it's the Learning Channel, there. I mean, I learn stuff, but that's not what it is. I think it's B.
Yeah, it is the Learning Channel. It started off with actually...
I got that wrong. The Learning Channel? Are you serious? And that put smut on that channel?
Yeah, man. Apparently, it used to be, if you remember back in the day, it was a lot of like educational shows or documentaries, things like that. And it slowly shifted into more of a reality channel. But yeah, it is the learning channel. You learn some things, that's for sure. The next one, TBS. You know what TBS stands for? What is that?
Oh, I know what that is. Turner Broadcasting Station.
For extra credit here, an extra credit quiz here. Do you know what the second TBS would stand for? There's a second one out there. I'll give you some options. It's A, the Television Broadcast Station, B, Tokyo Broadcast Station, or C, Tommy Burton Station. Actually, it's the Tokyo Broadcast Station. Apparently, the biggest channel in Japan is TBS as well.
Oh, or they just play the Big Bang Theory all the time? Ugh.
Or on repeat, yeah. That's the thing. And then when did Nick at Night become straight Friends? Is my
yeah,
thing.
It used to be a mix of it. Now it's just Friends. I hate Friends. I hate it.
What happened to... You know what? You could play Fresh Prince all night. You really wanted, but okay. All right, so the last one here, OWN, the O Network. What? Whose network is that, Christopher? Do you know who that
Oprah,
is?
The Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah, you already know. So let me ask you this too. Do you know what that channel used to be before it was Oprah Winfrey Network?
I don't.
It was the Discovery Health Channel, and the only reason I remember that is because I had somebody in my household who used to watch it all the time, and I kid you not, it was a channel full of like babies being born, people having surgery. Like it was straight up like just watching all that
stuff. I thought you were going to tell me, ask me what does True TV stand for? And I was like, Impractical Jokers. That's all they play on that channel. And I hate it. I'm like, when did one show just take over a network? Like when did that happen? Like True TV used to be good stuff like Cops and Reno or Operation Repo and Lizard Lick Towing, but now it's just Impractical Jokers. And I'm like, nobody wants to watch that show. Nobody likes that show.
What I think it is, man, I think since streaming services came up, nobody's watching cable anymore, right? And what do people do on streaming services? They just binge. So they're just trying to placate to the people that want to binge that show.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But like, I've noticed with like Tubi and Freevee and like Pluto TV, like, that's what they do on a lot of the channels. Like, they call the channels weird things, but then they're just like, yeah, they just play this. It's just straight binging. It's like one thing is just The Price is Right. One thing is just Maury all the time. Like, but I get it.
It'll be like straight rage, and then it'll be Jerry Springer or something. I don't know.
No, that's on Nosy. That's what that's on.
Nosy? That's true.
Yep.
Oh, isn't that what Maury's on, too? It's all Nosy.
Yep, it's Maury, Divorce Court, and Jerry Springer. And I only know this because when we spent Thanksgiving at the cabin, that's what we watched. We just watched that whole channel.
Yep, it was always some good stuff. And it was always a vast array. But you know what? I'm going to say this. Jerry Springer, I like the later seasons of Jerry Springer. I don't know why. But anyways, man, speaking of Jerry Springer, rage. I'm ready to hear what you got for What Fries My Donuts this week. So, Chris, what fries your donuts?
Oh, I'm going to tell you what fries my donuts. And it's not a what fries my donuts. It's a who fries my donuts.
Oh, who is it?
And we've made skits and parodies and we've danced around the name. But I'm going to straight out say the name. I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, you fry my donuts. And here's the thing. I get wanting to have financial advice. Heck, I even get, you know what, you need to be able to, like, don't spend more than you make. But what I don't like is Dave is a complete jerk, like a straight-up a-hole to people that call in. He calls them dumb. He calls them stupid. Like, it's abusive. Like, it boils my blood, and that's what I don't like about Dave Ramsey. Not to mention the fact that his practices are 20 years old, and he wants to all talk about, oh, well, you know, you need to be rich and da 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 da. It's like, bro, you got rich off of churches. That's what you got rich off of. You got rich of people paying $100 for your little crappy little program and with all these outdated ideas. And I'm telling you, dude, like he boils my blood because he is a straight up jerk to people. And nobody's holding him accountable for it. And anytime someone calls him out, then there's some boomer or there's some Gen Xer was like, well, I guess you don't want to be rich. And it's like, oh, funny that this comment is coming from somebody that's poor. And it's like, nah, that's not it. Like, it's the fact that Dave is out of touch.
I'm telling you, dude. I mean, you heard about the lawsuits he was in, right?
Yeah, but did he even lose any of those? I'm sure he won them.
Yeah, he didn't lose any of them, but there was a bunch of, I mean, just him berating his employees and all sorts of, and having to live a certain lifestyle to work for him and stuff like that. Yeah, where do people get off trying to control people's lives? Especially, like, listen, at work, it's a job, right? I'm doing this because I need a check. Like, let's get that straight. Most people wouldn't be at a job if they didn't need the check, right? So it's like, but you expect them to change their lifestyle for you. And I get that it's, like Chris said, I get the whole financial advice and whatnot, but he does. He literally, if you've never heard it before, you know, people will say, okay, and it'll be manageable situations, right? Like, there will be manageable situations. Okay, I'm $10,000 in debt, right? And things like, and, you know, give them their situation and it'll be all manageable things. And he'll say, well, first thing is, it's like, are you going to restaurants? It's like, yeah, it's like the only inside of a restaurant you should see is that second job when you work in the kitchen, because it's like, that's what you need to be doing. It's like, you got $10,000 worth of debt. You shouldn't be eating out. I bet you go to Starbucks every week too, don't you? It's like, yeah, I do. It's like, well, if you wouldn't go to Starbucks, you wouldn't be 10 grand in debt. It's like, I bet your parents aren't really, really happy with where you are with your debt, are they? And like, he just starts like really ripping you on stuff. And you're going, you know, all they were saying is wanting a tangible plan forward, not to get nitpicked and say, like, you need a second job and all this other stuff. Like, and even if they do say, like, hey, you probably need to get a second job or maybe some more income or things like that, there are ways to do that without, you know, being like, well, you know what? It's like, the only time you should see restaurants when you're in the kitchen work.
No, he flat out called someone stupid. Like, he was like, you are an idiot. Like, he was like, you are stupid. And because they were talking about how his wife was in a residency and how, like, she only had 10 grand of student loan debt, which is amazing, right? It's 10 grand of student loan debt for a residency, right? And they were talking about how they were about to make, like, 180 grand a year. And they were talking about daycares and, like, should we put our kids in this daycare? Like, whatever. He's like, you don't need to be putting your kids in daycare. He's like, that's just absolutely stupid. He was like, your wife's a doctor. He was like, she must be a neurosurgeon and she needs to operate on that brain because you're absolutely stupid for doing that. And it's like, dude, like, where do you get off, like, bullying and berating people, man? Like, where do you get off on that? And I get helping people, but what I don't like is how you're bullying and berating people. And like I said, your practices are from 20 years ago, and you don't realize how much inflation has happened. And I think that's the problem with, like, the older generations. They don't realize that you can't buy a house for, like, $5 anymore. Like, they don't understand how much inflation has happened. Like, we're making the most money we've ever made in our life.
And it's not getting us nearly as far. And we still can't
afford it.
Yeah. Well, and I think another thing that they're not understanding, too, is, I mean, I remember the whole principle of, oh, you'll never have to pay for a car again. Do you remember that? Where it's like, you'll get free cars for the rest of your life by basically buying this car and selling it periodically, like selling it in a year. And then you can get that car with the money that you saved. And then you could buy another car and it's all like free. It's like, but that's not really free. That's just you saving your money. You know what I mean? Like, but when you don't have any money to save, I remember, I don't know if I told you this, but I actually called there's a whole screening process. It's not like you call and it's to his radio service and he's like, okay, next caller. No, no, no. It's a pre-scripted thing that they give you a time that Dave's team is going to call you. And basically they screen everything. So like I called and talked to one of the people at his place, told him my situation and everything like that, and never got a call back. Pretty much what I was trying to figure out, because I was raised with a lot of the Dave Ramsey stuff, right? And it was very anti-debt, which, okay, I get that. But I was trying to go to flight school, right? And I had to figure out how to afford that. And I had a very menial job that was barely just getting me by. And I figured, you know, this is my next step. Essentially, this is college, right? Like, I need to get this flight school done and everything like that. So I called him up and was, you know, basically, it's this school is going to cost me about 60 grand to go through. And it's only going to be 8-9 months for me to get through it. So I need 60 grand that quickly. How am I supposed to do that without getting into debt? Because the whole thing was, it's like, pretty much if there's a will, there's a way. And there's always a way that you can figure it out without being in debt. Like, if you have, I don't know if you ever got that vibe, Chris. Basically, it's like, if you're in debt, it's your own fault. You could have done something different kind of thing. And so for me, it was trying to figure out, okay, how do I do this? And yeah, I remember telling him my situation and I never got a call back. So I was like, yep, you don't know that one, do you, bud? Yep,
he doesn't know that. He only picks situations that are favorable for him to make himself look good and to berate people, and I don't like that, man. So Dave Ramsey, if you're listening, and especially if you're claiming to be some, you know, person of faith, like, you don't treat people like that. Like, don't do that. Like, don't say, "Oh yeah, I got rich off of churches and, you know, these are God's principles," and da da da. And then you go around and treat people like crap. Like, get out of my face, man. I'm sorry. I'm riled up about it. I'm like, dude, I wish I could tell him to his face.
I get you. But I can't. I get you, bro. I'll tell you this, too. Last note on it. Do you know he's actually banned in Canada? Like, they won't, because they, the government deemed him as basically like a snake oil salesman. And because it's called Financial Peace University, that they're like, yeah, no, we're not going to have that. So they're not allowed to do it in Canada.
Well, good for them.
Shout out to Canada. All right, man. Well, you ready to move to our next segment?
Yeah, I'm ready, dude.
All right, man. Well, our next segment is the improv segment, or our mystery donut. So we're going to go through, and we have free improv this week. No clue what's going to come out. I can tell you this much. I'm tired, so there's definitely no telling what's going to come out. Do you have a situation or a scenario, sir?
Yes, grocery shop.
Grocery shopping? Okay. Do we just want to do any accent we want to do?
Let's pull one out of the hat. Oh, Asian.
So, Asian, you want to start off Asian grocery shopping?
Oh, Mr. Kim, how you doing? I see you over here getting some oranges, some banana. Oh, you making fruit salad? Oh, yeah, I love a fruit salad. You making a fruit salad?
You know, I come look over here, and I see your ugly face, and I have to come over here and tell you I don't like you.
Oh, Mr. Kim, is it because why we still have beef, man? We not in the meat market section. We in produce. We should be having love and tranquility. I don't understand why you don't like Mr. Chang. I don't understand why you don't like myself. I've never done anything to you. What have I done to you? I show up at your daughter's violin recital. I show up at all your kids' events. But you don't like me. Why you don't like me?
That's why I don't like you. You come to all kids' events. I don't ask you to be there. That's creepy.
But my kid and your kid, they in the same honors classes together. They also in honors violin. They also in honors cello as well. So I don't understand why you don't expect for me to come there when I'm seeing my kid too. It's not creepy. You creepy.
First of all, your kid have no chance getting into Harvard. My Timmy, he be in Harvard tomorrow. They say at age 13, he prodigy. Your kids, they dog.
Oh, I see you must be fine on hard times because you got the Del Monte when I can afford the Libby's. You must be falling really on hard times to not be able to buy the name brand stuff. So, who win there?
It don't matter about food. Let me show you my golf club.
Oh, your golf club? Well, guess what? I'm in golf club at Country Club. They asked me to play. White boys asked Mr. Kim to play.
Oh, yeah? Well, Mr. Chong at Exclusive Country Club. Only one in town. Best one in town. He have his own locker with his name on it, too. So what you have to say about that?
Mr. Kim, an exclusive club. Nobody even know about this club. It underground. It called Illuminati.
Oh, Kanye West? You know
him? Yeah, I know Kanye West. He even called me up on stage one time. I even sang at his church service.
Now you full of crap.
Well, I must go because my wife, she said if I'm not home before 5, she going to throw me out like a dog. I guess I know how you live.
It's always good talking to you, you pile of crap.
Oh, I see you later.
Okay.
One trip at the grocery store. I don't know if they like each other or they don't like each other. I couldn't really get the vibe from that.
All I say is the gist that I've gotten from some Asian people is they'll talk a bunch of mess to each other, but they secretly like each other. And they'll just be like, okay, have a good day. And that's all like just banter to them. I've seen that happen a few times. Believe it or not, it wasn't the grocery store. Where was I at? I was somewhere. I think it was Best Buy. And there was two Asian guys that knew each other. And that's exactly how the conversation went. It was they were like talking subtle mess to each other, but they were like smiling and happy. So it was kind of confusing.
It's all good, man. Well, I guess it's time to move into our last segment, which is our positive advice. And I don't remember. Is it my turn or is it your turn to go first?
I think I went first last time, but I'll go first again. So it's important to take the time to take care of yourself and also set goals for yourself. I know that it's really, really hard because I don't know, man. I don't know if you've been here before, but it's hard to set goals sometimes, especially when life's landscape changes really, really fast. Because I've been the kind of person that'll set, I like to set long-term goals, right? Short-term and long-term. But a lot of times the long-term goals don't look anything like you thought they would when you get to the finish line because life has changed so much. So it gets really hard to set those goals. It's good not to give up setting those goals because it's really easy to just go, well, it's going to change anyways. I'll take it on the fly. But, you know, having those tangible light at the end of the tunnel, here's where I need to be goals are very, very important. That way you don't wake up in a certain amount of time and go, wow, what happened with all the time? You know, where did it all go? It's because so that's my positive advice.
Yeah, man, it's always good to take care of yourself. My advice is you can apply this to leadership. You can apply this to however you want. But when you have people that report to you or that you're like on a team on, it is good to have a clear vision and a clear goal and know where you're going. But don't leave bodies behind in the process. And what I mean by that is, you can run your team ragged and say, you know what, we're going to do this and you're going to help me do this whether you like it or not. Or you can help get the people to be on board and help do this thing together. And so there's a big major difference because, yeah, you might accomplish your goal, but if you look behind you and you don't do it well, you're going to leave bodies and you're going to burn bridges. And it's never good to burn bridges, right? You want to care more about people than about the goal, and the goal is good. And sometimes there are goals that, you know what, not everyone is going to help you accomplish, but you can't just burn them in the process, you know? And so there's some people that you just have to be like, hey, like, you know what, we're going in a different direction than you're going. You know what, we're going to part ways and it's going to be okay. But also too, when you're trying to get a team to accomplish a goal, don't leave bodies behind you. Because it's never good in the end, and then you burn bridges, and people resent you for that. So, that's my positive advice.
Even though the song is good, don't let the bodies hit the floor.
Okay. Yeah, that's only good for when you're like mad and you're playing on a video game. Then that's the only good time.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, man, it's been a great episode, and it's already coming to an end. It's hard to believe it's been 50 minutes already, or close to. I don't know. Time always goes really fast. If I could keep talking, it'd be a 2-3 hour podcast.
A 3-hour, 4-hour podcast, man. I don't know. For me, like, those are great. But it's, unless I'm, like, going on a really long road trip or it's Cat Williams or Monique, bro, I can't listen to, like, a 3-hour, 4-hour long podcast. Some people can, but different strokes for different folks, right?
I just don't have that kind of time. So,
it's like, yeah, exactly. Unless you're like a trucker and you're driving everywhere, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Jim, man, I almost said TVTrashCan.com. Not just yet, but Trashcan Network, Trashcan Network over at Facebook, Instagram, over at our YouTube as well. Come check us out. We got plenty of content coming out.
For sure. Check out Last Week in Aviation on the YouTubes.
On the YouTubes, yeah. If you liked what we talked about in our jelly donut today, you'd like the episodes that are coming up, especially because we had a CEO just get fired, like I talked about, and we got to talk about it this week.
Cool deal. Well, I think it's time for the Starship to take us out.
Yeah, man. I'm Micah.
I'm Chris.
and this has been the Donut Box Podcast.